All right, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. You know what? I'm going to let y'all, I'm gonna ask y'all to stand. Y'all ain't been standing all this time. You can stand up. Let's stand for the reading of the word, which is out of reverence, is a custom in our church. We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. If you'll do me a favor, we're going to do our Bible affirmation together. If you hold your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air, let's say this together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. Who it says I am, I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, we're reading from the New King James Version. Again, if you have a different version, no worries. The words are on the screen. Let's, for the sake of us reading together, read from this version all together. Ready? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, for this celebration of life and for the celebration of you being our source. We pray, Father God, that today you would move me aside, Holy Spirit. You would come in and you would speak to your people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Before you're seated, turn to the neighbor, to your neighbor, and ask them, what is your source? So what's your source? Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. What is your source? What is your source? What is your source? What is the place? What is the thing? What is the person? Who is the person that is the reason why you do what you do? That is the fountain, the reserve, the place where you call on, the place where you go to when you need assistance. Who is the person? Some of y'all, I remember when I was a little kid, you know, not everybody had or was blessed to have a mother, but my mother was my source. When I felt down, I would go to my mother. When I felt worried, I would go to my mother. When I felt fear, I would go to my mother. When I was struggling to think about how life was going to get any better, I would go to my mother. And I depended on my mother. Then in 2000, oh, I can't even remember what year she passed. In 1 year, 17 years ago this month, my mother passed away. And I never thought that I would have to live without my source. And I remember my mother passed away when I was pregnant with my first child. And we had no more grandparents. Nobody was left. Everybody had gone on except for her. She was the last remaining grandparent. And she was sick and got diagnosed with cancer and passed away within 6 weeks. And it was so quick. And I was pregnant. I didn't know what I was doing. I had Jeffrey, my oldest, and then 8 days later, my mother passed away. She never got to see Jeffrey in person, but she saw a picture of him, and she just cried and wept when she saw it. And I heard she just kept saying, my baby, my baby, my baby. And I was angry. I was so mad at God. Lord, I don't know. Y'all, if anybody was around when I was pregnant with Jeffrey, you know I was a hot mess because I did not know. I never changed a diaper. I didn't like babies. I didn't want to have nothing to do with babies. I had never babysit a baby. Some of y'all had that experience. You had little siblings. I was the youngest. I had nobody else around. It was just me. I was like, God, I don't know how to handle no child. Teenagers I got. Babies? Mm-mm. And I thought to myself, my source has just died. The one resource that I have that knows anything about having babies, that knows anything about how to take care of me, is now gone. So God, what do I do? How do I handle this? And I cried and I wept and I was mad at God. And I know some of you have had some experiences where God has done, or you feel like some bad things have happened and you get angry with God. And I want you to know that God is so good that he is big enough to handle your anger. He's big enough to handle when you got questions. I know there are people in Christianity who tell you don't question God, just accept it. No, no, God's okay with you asking him questions. So I kept saying, God, why did you do this? Now, I want you to know he's okay with you asking questions, but he is not obligated to answer your questions. That's important because sometimes we forget that. And I cried and I wept and I was mad at God because my source, my mother, was gone. How am I going to make it as a mother? And how many of y'all have ever said or remember saying, you don't have to raise your hand, like, I don't know what I'm going to do if so-and-so passes away. Well, you know what? What you're going to do is you're going to discover who your real source is. When my mother died, I realized I was dependent on her, but she was not my real source. My real source of encouragement, my real source of joy, my real source of peace, my real source of provision, my real source of hope, my real source of faith was in Jesus Christ. It was not in my mother. And this is the reason why parents, the greatest thing we can do is get our children to not depend on us, but to learn how to depend on Jesus. That's why I get so excited looking at these children, because I see them and they are dependent on Jesus. I see them. I don't know if y'all saw them just worshiping God in the middle of that. And I'm like, if a child can learn that, here's what they're saying. They're saying, you know what? No matter if mama is here, no matter if daddy is here, no matter if I don't have money or if I don't have hope or if I don't have whatever you think I don't have, I have a real source that can provide. And that source is Jesus Christ. So what is your source? Who is your real source? If you are so dependent on somebody else, some of us, our source is our jobs. And we're like, if I lose my job, I'm not going to make it. You're going to be just fine. Because what's going to happen is you're going to realize your job is not the source of your provision. The source of your provision is Almighty God, who provided you with skills, provided you with an opportunity, provided a door to be open so that you can have a job. And therefore, if he did all that and you lose the one you got, how many of you know he's able to bring another one up? We have people in this church who've lost children, and it's hard. You know why? Because you never think you're going to go before your child. And so many times, or your child is going to go before you. And so many times, because it's rocking our lives, we forget that our child is not our source. As much as it hurts, as much as it pains me, my children are not my source. God Almighty is my source. My happiness, yes, I'm going to be sad. Yes, I go through those moments of despair, but it is not found solely in my children. It is not found solely. I lost my spouse. It wasn't found solely in my spouse. My source of happiness, my source of joy, my source of provision was found in Almighty God. And you can see this as we start off today. As we enter, I'm going to tell you something. 2020 has already been a year of warfare. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. If you've been having a good 2020, God bless you. You ought to just say, ooh, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. But for some of us, it has been a year of almighty fighting. I forgot children are in the room, so I can't use certain words. It has been a year of a lot of difficult things. Come on, somebody. It's been a year where it feels like how many of y'all started? We keep saying we started 2020 with this big thing because it's it's 20 years. It's going to be an amazing year. And then you get into it, and it's like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And what's happening is God is saying, I just want to check who's your real source in 2020. I just want to check who is it you really depended on in 2020. Are you dependent on getting that stuff, or are you dependent on me? Are you dependent on your skills and your abilities to produce something in your life, or are you dependent on me? Are you dependent on the doctor to give you a whole new report, or are you going to depend on my report? Who are you really dependent on in 2020? Because if you're depending on getting the stuff that you were believing God for in 2020 to make you happy and to give you joy, could that possibly be why it's getting rocked right now? Because God is saying, depend on me. So I want to give you four quick points today because I don't have a lot of time. And then what we're going to do after service is we're inviting you all to join us, if I'm right. We have some pizza and root beer floats. We want to fellowship with the Imani Children's Choir. We want you to get to know them a little bit better. We want to give y'all, y'all might be sick of American food, but that's all. We don't know how to make Ugandan food. But we're going to bless them with some food. Y'all stick around. But I want y'all to encourage, to fellowship with them. So I want to get done pretty quickly. Is that all right? All right, here we go. Four quick points I want to give you about the source, your source. Number one is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God said, let us make man. Here's the first point I want to tell you. Our source is a creator. Our source is a creator. I'm telling you, your source is Almighty God, and Almighty God is a creator. Almighty God looked at an earth that had no form, that was without void, that was absolutely dark, that had nothing there, and he said, you know what? I'm going to create a world. And not only am I going to create a world, I'm going to create a people to put in the world. Now, I don't know about you, but some of y'all can say I've created people because you've had children, but I don't think anybody in here can say I've created a world. Our source is a creator. Our source is a creator. Why is it important to realize that God, our God, is our source, who is a creator? Why is this so important? Because if we don't recognize God as our creator, we will begin to think that we create our own stuff. Which means we'll begin to think that we are in control of everything. And when we get in trouble, who will you depend on when you think you can create stuff? You. And you will forget that Almighty God, who is creative and a creator, has the ability to take something that is nothing and turn it into something mighty. So when you're faced with difficult situations, if you think that you are the only one who has the ability to solve the problem because you are creator and you are the one in control, you are extremely limited in your ability. This is the reason why when you get in a situation and God shows up and does something out of the blue, you are so surprised. You know why? Because I didn't think that way. And God is like, of course you wouldn't think that way, because your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. You're not creator. Creator, God, has the ability to take any situation, any circumstance, any ability, any idea, and to do what? Change it in an instant. Where he can turn out something that was not going well for you and turn it into something good. This is why the Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and been called according to his purpose. I think back and I look at what happened when my mother passed away, and I was not thinking that God was working and being creative and doing something in the middle of that. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking I was hurt. My view was so limited. You ever talk to somebody who's going through something and they just, here's the thing. You ever talk to somebody dating somebody that shouldn't be dating them? And no matter what you say, they don't see how they shouldn't be dating him. But you have an outside view. So you can see exactly why they crazy, even though they can't see why they crazy. But then they stay in it long enough, and then they come out of the situation, and they go, dang, they was crazy. And you're going, I've been telling you that for years. Why is it that you can't see it? Because when you're in the middle of something, your ability to look outside of it is gone. But you serve a God who sits high and looks low. You serve a God who is able to see from a bird's eye view everything. You serve a God who has and was the wisdom of all time, from thousands of years ago to thousands of years in the future. He is wisdom past. He is wisdom present. He is wisdom future. You serve a God who can look at the entirety of life and the entirety of your situation and be able to say, oh, no, 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 no. This is just a little thing that's going on. Let me tell you what I'm really doing in this. When I look back and I think about what God did in the midst of me losing my mother, and I think about how God gave me strength, and I think about how I got better, and I think about how just a few weeks after she passed, I was still in midnight basketball teaching workshops. There was a girl in the workshop who had lost her mother 5 years ago, and my mother had only been gone for about a month. And she said, I don't know how you do that, but what I know is whoever is helping you, I want that. And I said, it's Jesus Christ. Somebody came to know Jesus simply because I went through something that was so hard and I didn't know how I was going to get through it, but God had a plan. You might be in something that is absolutely hard, crazy, ridiculous, But you need to know, God is your creator. He will use the situation and he will turn it for your good. Here's a few facts about how amazing God is and how creative God is. People are born with 300 bones, but by the time they are adults, they only have 206 because our bones fuse together. Who would think something like that? Do you not know your thigh bone is stronger than concrete? That's the kind of God we serve, a God who says, I'm going to make your thigh bone so strong that it can handle anything. The strongest substance in your body is enamel, the stuff you have like on your teeth. Like, it's like ridiculous how God thinks. Isn't it crazy? The average human heart beats about 35 million times a year. There are approximately 100,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. And here's something that's a fun fact. Fingernails grow 4 times the rate of your toenails. That's good, because bending over, getting to them toes. Anyway. See, God is a source. If God can do that, and God can create mountains, and God can create beaches, and God can create deserts, and God can create rainbows, and God can create kangaroos, and God can create zebras, and peacocks, and bunnies, and flowers, then nothing you have going on is too hard for him. If God can do that, God keeps creating new hope for you. God can create new opportunities for you. God can create new doors that he's opening. God can create new paths for you. God can create new portraits of redemption for those of us who don't know how we're going to come out. God can create that. New things that have not yet been experienced. This is who we serve, a creator God. Now, I know that some of y'all are like, this isn't that amazing. I know God is creator. Do you remember when you're going through that he's your creator? Do you remember when you're faced with a difficult situation? That God's able to do anything. Sometimes this is the reason why I go to the beach. Because I go to the beach and I sit there and I look at. So somebody asked me, are you ever going to live outside of California? I hope not. I mean, it would have to be a God move to get me out of here. But just being able to hit the beach in an hour or the snow in about 3 hours. I mean, it's so hard to leave. And then the weather, y'all. Let me make a correction. Alex said I was in L.A. watching my son play baseball last week. He was a little off. He didn't know that. I was actually in the South. And that's when I realized I love California. I'm originally from Missouri. My family's from Alabama. I was in Dallas, Texas. I was in Mobile, Alabama. And I was in Miami last weekend, all over the last weekend. And being in those locations made me realize I love California. But what I love about California is the beach. When I go to the beach and I see that ocean and I look at the vastness of the water, it reminds me of how big God is. And it reminds me when I see how big my source is, why am I thinking he's not coming through? Why am I thinking he's not able? Why am I thinking he can't do? Why am I thinking nothing will work out for me? That's why sometimes you just got to look up. Even if you can't get to the beach, just go outside at night and look up at the stars. And tell me that you don't see a God who's creative, who can do anything for you. So, number one, our God, our source, is a creator. Number two, our source is a provider. He's a provider. Verse 29, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed. God's like, look here, I'm going to provide for you not just food, but food that keeps producing and keeps producing and keep producing food so that you always have food. He's a provider. He says, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, so to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is. I have given every green herb for you. Not only is God the creator and the source of all things, but God is a provider. The Lord did not just create us and say, have a good time, figure it out. He created a way for us to be sustained. Think about this. In the beginning of time, when God made man, he made sure that we had everything we need to excel and exceed what he made us. Now, I want you to know this. When God made you in your mother's womb, he made sure that you had everything you need to excel and exceed in this life that you are living. And some of you are like, but I don't have money, or I don't have a mom, or I don't have a dad, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't have this opportunity. And God is like, I put everything you need already inside of you for you to be able to succeed. Why? Because I am a provider. I'm not going to leave you without. And you may look and say, well, there are people who don't have homes, they're without. That doesn't mean that God hasn't given the ability or provision around. I was driving last night through a drive-thru, and I saw a young lady, and I was so heartbroken. She was sitting under a light, asleep. You could tell she was homeless. And I wanted to do something, but she was asleep, and I was like, I don't want to wake her up. Now, y'all can say that was bad. Maybe I should have did something. But what I saw was, I said, God, you are so good. Even though she don't have a place to live, you provided a warm spot under a light that she could be safe tonight and she could sleep. And I started praying that, God, you would provide even more for her, that, God, you would bless her. Why? Because I know that even when it looks like God's not providing, he's still providing. It may not be what you want. It may not look the way you want. Some of us are so busy looking at what other people have that we forget to be grateful for what we have. Maybe I don't have the house on the hill. Maybe I don't have the big job. So I'm so excited. I look at these children, and I'm seeing some of their stories and what they've been through. And I'm sitting here going, God, you have provided. God, you have been good. God, look, things could be so awful for everybody. But I thank you, God, that you are a provider who always comes through. You are always an on-time God. You always give us what we need. You always do exactly what we need to have done when we need to have it done. The Israelites, they were out in the wilderness for 40 years. And they, look, in the desert. And you know what God did? He provided. He provided quail to just run up. Where did the quail come from? I don't even think quail existed. I think he made a quail just so they could come and eat it. You don't know what a quail is? It's a little bitty teeny chicken. It is. It's a little chicken. He made little chickens run across their yard because he was providing. And he said, if that's not enough, I will rain down manna, food from heaven for you. I know some of us are sitting in some financial situations and we don't know how God's going to work. But remember, God is your source. He is your provider. He always comes through. He always makes ways and provisions out of no way. And God doesn't just provide his provision. He provides himself to us. He provides his presence. When God shows up, things move. You ever walk into a room and you walk in the room and everybody starts shaking? They be like, oh, wait, hold up. Something's different. You ever have somebody come in a room and things feel different? A lot of times that happens because the presence of God shows up and you can just feel the difference. And it changes people's attitudes. It changes people's mindsets. God is a provider. He is our source. God blesses us and provides for us. He provides our paychecks. He provides your rent payments, your mortgage payments. He provides your Social Security checks. He provides your disability checks. Come on, somebody. He provides every gift that you get. He provides gratitude when you need it to know you all right. God is going to provide every situation. He provided your car. He provided the money for the gas to get in the car. If you ain't got no car, he provided somebody to pick you up and give you a ride. If you ain't had nobody pick you up and give you a ride, he gave you the money to get an Uber to get to church. If you ain't got no money, get to Uber and get to church. He provides you the money for a bus pass. Look, God is a provider. And if you sit there and you continue to compare yourself with other people, you are going to miss the fact that, oh, my God, you have been providing for me every single day of my life. And you will not stop providing. God is a provider. Okay, here's my next thing because I got to get out of here. Number three. So our God is a creator. Our God is a provider. Here's number three. Our God is a multiplier. Our source is a multiplier. God don't just want to bless you. He wants to bless you and then start multiplying what you got. Okay, watch this. Verse 28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the earth. Do you realize that since the beginning of time, God has been involved in multiplication? God loves multiplication. Think about it. He started with one man and one woman, and from that, billions upon billions of people all over the earth now exist. He's a God of multiplication. Why did God command us to multiply? Because he made us in his image. And if he's a multiplier, he wants us to be a multiplier. That's why I've been talking to you for the last 8 weeks about, are you multiplying things? Because if we're not multiplying, if we're not growing, if we're not advancing the kingdom of God, what are we really doing? We are not doing what God called us to do. Multiplication is not just a command. It is also a blessing. God wanted to create us in his image, and he gets joy out of multiplying us. He gets joy about seeing us grow and grow. Let me tell you the power of multiplication. Just think about it. If you were to share your faith with two people, And the next day, each of those two people share their faith with two others. And it continues to go where they share their faith with two more people. By the end of 3 weeks, 3.1 million people will have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of multiplication. If you just shared it with two people, and those two people shared it with two people, and those people shared it with two people, 3.1 million in 3 weeks. God is a multiplier. We don't think big enough. We don't think our God is able to do enough. I had a lunch with a pastor who's starting her own business, and I absolutely loved it. And when I met with her, she said she started a company, and her company's just kicking off, and it's getting seed funding, and it's a startup. And she said, I'm going to be a billionaire. This company's going to be a billionaire. It's going to be creating that kind of dollars in 5 years. And I sat back, and I was like, girl, I'm just trying to be a thousandaire. And she said, you got everything in you to be a billionaire. And in that moment, I said, I don't think big enough. If God is a God of multiplication, if he really is my source, if he really is my provision, why am I not thinking bigger? Why am I not thinking that God can't do more? You know why? Because I keep thinking about me. Instead of thinking about I have a source that is able to give me everything I need. These children over here, they're reaching people all over the world. They may not realize the impact of what they're doing between 8 and 13 years old and how they're impacting folks, even just by going out and praying for them. They are planting seeds. But you know what? There's a power of multiplication on these children. And God is doing something miraculous through them. And he's blessing people all over the world through them. And they're only 8 to 13. Imagine if we join in with an effort like that. What can we really do? The last thing I want to tell you. Here's my fourth point. Do I have a fourth point or just three? The fourth point. No, I only got three. That's good enough. I'm going to close with this story. I thought I had four, but I only got three. 2 Kings 4:1-7. You don't have to turn there, but this has been my life verse. I have like 50 of them, so this is one of my 50. But it's 2 Kings chapter 4. It's found in verse 1 through 7. It's the story of a woman who had sons. And her husband had died. And when her husband died, she was in debt. And because women couldn't work during that time, it was a little bit different. She was in debt. And what happened was she went to the man of God. And she said, look, my husband was a man of God. I got these two kids. The creditors come in. They're about to take my kids from me. What can I do? And here's what he asked her. I want you to see this. Can you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2? Elisha said, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? You know what Elijah was saying? Elijah asked her two questions. What shall I do for you, and what do you have? What do you want, and what do you have? And I want to tell you that your source, your provider, is coming to you, and he's saying, what do you want, and what do you have? What shall I do for you? What do you want me to do for you, lady? Now, you would just think, I shouldn't have to tell you what I want you to do. Just do something for me. But no, Elisha is like, look, if I have this massive amount of resources, I can't just assume that God's just going to pick and select what he's going to get. No, God wants to know, what do you want from him? That's why you have passages in the Bible where it says all the time, like, ask me for what you want, and I will give it to you. Ask me for what you wish. God wants us to come to him and tell us, look, God, you are my source. Here's what I want. So your first question today, you need to be saying, God, you are my source. What's the question? What do you want? You ought to be saying, God, I want to see this happen. God, I want to see that happen. And I want to tell you, the reason why we're not seeing big things happen is because what we want is too small. I'm going to prove it to you in this passage. And then he says, well, what do you have? So what do you already got? I look at these children. They have the ability to sing and dance. I don't know what they have, but let's say I don't have everything. I don't have everything I need. I don't have a blessing. I don't have a big house. I don't have a big car. I don't have school. I don't have family. But what I do have is the ability to sing and dance. So what I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to come to you and say, this is what I want, but this is what I have. I ask God this question, what do I have? God says, I was like, God, I don't even know what I got. He says, you have the ability to speak and you have the ability to write. That's what you have. And I was like, well, that ain't going to help me with my debt. That's not... What often happens is what you want God to do and what you have don't look nothing like each other. They don't look alike. They're not correlative. You can't look at them and go, yeah, that makes sense. You're looking at them and you go, I can sing and dance, but I need to build a school. But we need to feed people. We need to get businesses started in our community. We need to change a whole entire community. But all I can do is I can sing and dance. And all I have is being a kid. I don't have a lot. And look at what she said. She said, your maidservant has nothing. She's already like, I ain't got nothing. She's like, but wait a second. I do have a jar of oil. What is a jar of oil going to do with all the credit she owes, all the debt she's in? Watch this. Verse 3, then Elisha said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour it on those vessels and set the full ones aside. What God will do is he will say, if that is what you have, and you come to him, he will give you a word that is a plan to get to what you want. This is why you need to learn how to hear from God, and you need to learn how to spend time with God. This is the reason why we have discipleship Operation Solid Lives, so you can learn how to get a word from God. So you take what you have, and God says, all right, I want y'all to go, and I want y'all to sing in other churches, and I want y'all to sing all over the world, and I want you to go and just trust me. But God, I don't know how that's going to work. Anybody ask you that? Just go. Am I close to right with how this is going, right? I might be off. But watch this. Here's what happens. So she did what the man said. Verse 5, she shut the door, she brought the vessels to her, and she began to pour out what she already had. And when she used what she already had, the Bible says it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said, bring me another vessel. So the oil ceased. The provision stopped because she did not have any more vessels to put it in. Not because the provision wasn't there. Watch this. She multiplied, but she also thought small. The more vessels she would have got, the more oil that would have came. Y'all need to catch this. So think about what is it you want, what is it you have, and don't limit what you do. If you can get that, you'll recognize that your source is bringing provisions to you. She then sells that oil and is able to pay off her debt and live the rest of her life. She didn't just pay off her debt. She was able to pay off her debt and live with no worry ever again. God is a source and a provider. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to get ready to give. Now, this seems contrary because I'm saying God is your source, but I'm asking you to give. And I'm asking you to sow today into these children. Why? Because God is saying, what do you have? What do you want? What do you have? Well, God, I don't have a lot to give. That's all right. Give it and watch me multiply it. Give it and watch me do something miraculous, not just for them, but also for you. Do you have anything you want to share about the choir, about where our resources can go? Do you have anything you want to say before we, as we get ready to take an offering? So come on up, our greeters, come up. You guys get prepared to give. Come on.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Simon, and we are so much blessed to be here. And I want to say thank you, Pastor, for having us here. As a choir, we are traveling to different states just to raise awareness of what is happening back home, as shown in the video. But I request you to keep praying for us in this mission, and also we are still around the area. You can also be of support in booking and all that. So we are still in the area. So it is our prayer that God has called us to develop godly servant leaders. Whenever we see a child, we are looking at developing a godly servant leader. And that's the vision of our ministry. And that's what keeps us moving and also coming over to this place. So you're lucky so much here that you have public education. But in Uganda, we have a big population of children. Over 55% of the population are 15 years and below. So most of them don't have a chance to go to school. So we get them sponsors and keep them in school. And by the grace of God, many have been transformed.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Amen. So you get a chance to plant and sow into a ministry that is training and leading godly servants. that I believe are going to be transformed and moved all throughout the world. Why did I preach about God as your source? Because some of you are sitting back saying, I don't know if I can do anything. Whatever you have, let me tell you, trust God that he's your source. He'll provide even more. Whatever you can give, trust that God is your source. See, I think God is trying to do something so much bigger than just say, just give, and I'm done with that. I think God wants to bless this offering today. And I declare that God is not, I'm not even praying that you get it back. I'm praying that God gives you ideas, visions, dreams, mindsets, whatever you need so that what you are planting will be multiplied back to you. Multiplied millions upon million times what you're giving today. So go ahead, you can play some music. We're going to be, greeters are coming to take your offering at this point. But I want you to know that God is radically crazy about blessing you. And sometimes he'll do things that seem absolutely disconnected. You can start. Sometimes he'll do things that seem disconnected. He'll say, give. Or he'll say, go pray for someone. Or he'll say, go try this. And it seems like it has nothing to do with what God wants to do in your life. But it is the link to the blessing that God has for you. It's the link to what God is doing to bring a release in your life. Thank you, Jesus. So they're coming to give. I want to encourage you. We're going to close right after the giving and prayer over the offering. I actually, y'all blessed us. I know we're going to bless you with giving, but I think we're going to close by just praying for these children. Is that okay? We want to pray for them. And I like their style. I like how they go and they come to you and ask, how can I pray for you? You know, how about we copy their style too at the end of this? So as soon as offering is up, I want you to give. Oh, thank you. If you don't have to give today, if you give online, if you do it right now, we can catch it. Go ahead and go online to rohichurch.org/give, and you can give online. What I need you to do is, you don't even need to designate it for Children's Choir. Just everything that we take in from this morning is going to go to them. So if you want to put it in the other category and say children or children's choir, that's fine. But you can also give online. But I'm asking you if you could do it now. So pull out your phones and get it done. Because if it comes in later today, we won't be able to give it to them. Okay? So go ahead and pull it up. Thank you, Jennifer, for reminding me. You can give online. We don't have a text option yet, but you can give online if you want to give more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. How many of y'all excited? God is your source. What do you have? He's your provider. He's your creator. He's a multiplier. What do you have? What do you want? Start there. And God will start speaking to you about what to do next.